For those of you who are not familiar with Dr. Kareem, let me just give him a quick introduction. Dr. Kareem received his Bachelor of Science in Engineering Mathematics at the University of Michigan in 1961, and also a Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering at the University of Michigan, also in 1961. He received his Master's in Physics at Harvard University in 1963, and a PhD in Applied Mathematics at the University of Colorado in 1970. He received his medical degree at the University of Brussels, graduating in 1979. Dr. Kareem has a long history involved with homeopathy. He was inspired by the writings of Kent and eventually pursued homeopathic studies, and actually went and traveled to Switzerland, where in 1972 he met Dr. Pierre Schmidt. Over a period of more than 20 years, he's been working on revising and incorporating various editions from Kent's original work. And this constitutes more than 100,000 editions and corrections, which have currently been incorporated into the synthesis repertory. So this is just a person's life work that he's done. Dr. Kareem has taught numerous seminars in Materia Medica, homeopathic philosophy, and repertory since 1980 to many groups of medical practitioners, including physicians, nurses, and naturopaths. And he's also the author and publisher of various works in homeopathy, including the Guide to the Collected Works of Arthur Hill Grimmer, and a Guide to Kent's Repertory, and more recently, James Tyler Kent's unpublished Materia Medica. We'll ask him a little bit more about that a little bit later on. So Ahmed, thank you so much for joining us. It's really a pleasure to have you on. I know that you are, I mean, aside from being a personal friend, you're somebody who has really completely devoted their lives to homeopathy. And I know you're a very fastidious and meticulous person. The work you have done has really created a legacy for you, and I want to just thank you personally for that.
My pleasure to be here and to share my passion and enthusiasm for homeopathy with everybody else.
Thank you, Ahmed. So, Ahmed, could you, for those of the people on the call who perhaps did not actually read the article up on the Whole Health Now website, could you kind of just give us a little bit of a background about what this article is about and what happened and what the whole story is?
In 1972, when I was really very new to homeopathy, I had been studying Kent's repertory and had seen that there were many misprints and mistakes in it, and I wondered what could one do about correcting these mistakes. I had read some journals, especially the American Institute of Homeopathy journal, and then since I was really interested in going to medical school, I decided to go to Europe and investigate the medical schools there. And in particular, the Swiss medical schools and also the schools in Belgium. So when I went to Geneva, which was a good possibility for me, I went and met Dr. Pierre Schmidt. He had been a physician to me when I was 13 years old, and he received me very graciously. And I spoke to him, said that I have this newfounded interest in homeopathy and I want to go to medical school, and that I had found many mistakes, and could he explain to me what had happened. And he told me that in 1962, that's about 10 years before, an Indian doctor by name Dr. K.C. Mittal, which stands for Kishan Chand Mittal, had come to Switzerland, had studied in his library, very devoted and very, very meticulous, and had written down all the corrections that Pierre Schmidt had from two particular repertories. The most important repertory was Kent's own personal copy of his own repertory of the second edition, which was in the possession of Dr. Pierre Schmidt. It turned out that Kent had passed on this repertory to one of his good students by name Eugene Alonzo Austin, who practiced in New York, and had told him that he should do whatever he could in his lifetime to have this repertory the second edition corrected. The second edition had been printed by Erhard and Karl, but it had all those mistakes. And it had not put in all the additions and corrections that Kent had put into his second edition. So that was the background. There were actually three copies of the second edition, one in Kent's own possession, which he passed on to his student Alonzo Austin, and Austin had passed it on to Pierre Schmidt, who had come to United States to study under Austin and Frederica Gladwin. Gladwin was also a very good student of Kent who practiced in Philadelphia. So that's basically the background. And Alonzo passed on this repertory to Schmidt, and Schmidt had it in his possession in his Geneva office. It was a prized book, very precious, because it was all corrected in Kent's own handwriting. And Pierre Schmidt was very gracious, and he allowed this Indian doctor to use this book and to make corrections of and all the additions that Kent had made into his own, namely into Mittal's own repertory. What you have to remember is that Mittal's repertory was a sixth edition, and what Pierre Schmidt had of Kent was a second edition. So there were big differences in pagination. But basically he could and did copy all of these corrections into his sixth edition. So that's what we had. Mittal had put every single thing that he possibly could from Kent's own book into his own book. But that was a sixth edition. And he also did some other additional work. He put corrections in the first chapter of Mine and the last chapter of Generalities into yet another repertory that Pierre Schmidt possessed. And there were other books in Pierre Schmidt's library. One of them was a book, two volumes on lectures that Kent gave in Materia Medica in 1895 at the Herring Medical College. So this was also in Pierre Schmidt's library. And then one fine day, I think for some peculiar personal reasons, and because Mittal had some antagonism and had seen certain things that Pierre Schmidt had done, that he made a decision that this book would not get published, maybe because Pierre Schmidt's health was not good and that it had not been published for so long. He figured that I am going to publish it and I'm going to take this book. So he took the book, that is Kent's own handwritten version of the second edition, which I call the treasure, and he took some other books from the library, notably those lectures of Materia Medica, and vanished. He basically took this and went back to India. And needless to say, when Pierre Schmidt discovered this, he was very, very upset about it and did all he could to get these books back. In particular, he got a hold of a man called Harish Chand in India, who was a good friend of his and who was a fairly well-known homeopath, and then got the international police involved, called Interpol, to try to get this Ishan Chand Mittal. Is everybody following me?
Sure, Ahmed, yeah.
And if they want to interrupt me, they're welcome to.
They can't. They can't hear you.
Okay. So,
I mean, they can hear you, but they can't speak. They can speak, but they can't.
What happened was that this treasure of Kent in his own handwriting and the man Kishan Chand Mittal's own repertory, which actually was complete, he had put every section and edition of Kent into, were in his possession. Including also two two books on materia medica lectures that Kent had given, and which was written up by his students. And he went off to India. And he basically was so paranoid about that that he wouldn't let them out of his sight, to the extent that when he even went to the toilet, the books were within sight, so that he would never lose sight of them. And little by little, since he was pursued by the Interpol and by Dr. Harishchand, he made a peculiar decision. The decision he made was to cut up Kent's original book, his treasure, into little bits, so that we had thousands of, you know, cuttings of the original repertory, with maybe 13 or 14 complete pages that had not been touched. And those stayed with him, and his sixth edition, in which he had copied everything, was there. With the idea that he had was that he would that he would be able to get to the publishers in India, which had published Indian editions of Kent's repertory, and would be able to convince them and have this whole book published in a complete form. However, this never happened, and since he was quite tormented and traveled so much all over India, this never got done. So in 72, when I was with Pierre Schmidt, he had been my physician when I was a young boy of 13 years old, and it helped me. Pierre Schmidt explained all this to me, how Mittal had come to Geneva. He had done all this work, that the work that he did was excellent. It was all very complete. And if he could ever find him and get his copy of the repertory, even though he had practically destroyed the treasure, it would be okay. We would be able to restore this work of Kent to the profession. And he told me, well, listen, if you can help in any way and find this man by traveling to India, please do so. You will render a terrific service to the profession. Well, I kept that in mind. What I did have, which was much in my favor, was that his wife, Pierre Schmidt's wife, Dora Schmidt-Nagel, a very noble human being, and who I had the privilege to meet, explained to me what all had happened. Some of it, you know, I'm not at privilege to tell, but she was very gracious, and she wrote a letter addressed to this man Mittal, saying in it that I am sending you and commending you and recommending you Ahmed Karim, who is studying medicine in Brussels, because I had been admitted to the medical school in Brussels and was now studying medicine after finishing my PhD. Please help him in any way you can, and let us work together to restore Kent's corrections into the repertory. That is what the letter said. Now, this was somewhere in 1972, and how was I going to find Mittal, who is more or less like a vagabond in India? Well, I didn't have a chance then, and I tried to correspond with him, but that did not happen, and there was no, I didn't get anywhere with it. Then in 1978, 6 years later, I got my chance to go to India. I was still in medical school, but they gave me a three-week leave of absence and gave me a free ticket to India and back to Belgium, and I took it. And I went to India, I went to Delhi, and how am I to find this man? Where is he? So my first contact was Dr. Chand, and he told me that I don't know where he is. He's somewhere in India. But he directed me to another physician in Delhi who was a practicing homeopath. He said he might know. As luck would have it, he directed me to go to Amritsar. You know, Amritsar is a famous town in India. It is where the Sikhs have their golden temple. So he told me, go there. But he said, you will not have it easy, because if ever you find him, he has some relatives in a small cloth shop. You know, these are small stalls in a huge cloth market which has 200 to 300 shops where these people sit and they sell cloths, whatever kind. They could be saris or they can be cotton cloth. Or so I was very perplexed. I said, how am I going to find this one man in a shopping mall where there are 300 stores? But stupid as I was, or undaunted as I was, I went there and I started asking around. I said, look, I'm looking for this person. His name is Mittal. He is a bit of an oddball and he usually carries a book with him. And I described the book. You know, basically this is the dimensions of a repertory, and he is a doctor. So I must have asked around, I have no idea, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 shops, and I was discouraged. I said, there are 200 and some odd more shops. How am I going to find him? But as my luck would be have it, it's almost like the universe said, okay, Kareem. I went to a shop, and there the man nodded and said, yes, I know who this man is, and he does come here, but you're out of luck. He's just left, but he'll be back in 4 or 5 days. Why don't you come back? And I said, well, how can I do that? I have to go to Bombay, meet my family, go back to my medical school. But as luck would have it, he walked in just at that moment. He forgot something there, and he walked in to collect what he had forgotten, and there he met me. And that was a wonderful meeting, because he spent with me till 2 in the morning, and that letter that I had from Madam Schmidt of 6 years back in 1972, he recognized the handwriting and immediately opened up to me, and we spent this time, and he explained to me, yes, he did have the repertory, yes, but it wasn't there, and he had hidden it. And it was hidden in a field in another city called Rampur, where he had put it in a gunny sack together with other paraphernalia that he had from Pierre Schmidt's office. And it was hiding there. It was hidden there. He said many people had tried to get it from him, including one person whose name he gave as Shindu, it's an Indian name, and that he very often took refuge in that man's house from being pursued by Dr. Harishchand and or the international police. And I explained to him that, you know, the whole profession, and in particular Madam Schmidt, would be so happy if he would work. You know, I gave him the chance. I said, if you would work together with everybody and restore this work of Kent to the profession, because it would really raise the level of the profession. And in a manner he agreed, but he was not ready at that time in 1978 to do that. So he basically said, well, why don't you go back, finish your MD degree, and then be in touch with me. So that's basically what I did. I went back, I finished my medical degree in Brussels, I got my MD, I got my internship in the United States at St. Vincent's Medical Center in Bridgeport, and I came back. And I kept in touch with him. So is this more or less clear so far?
Yes, I think so, Amit.
Okay. And then in 1980, I got a second chance to go to India. I took a vacation of 3.5 weeks from my internship, and I went to India. This time it was a lot easier to find him, because I had been in touch with him. And we met again. But he was not willing to give me this repertory or the other things he had gotten. He said, no, I'm not willing. I don't know if I can trust you. I've only known you now for 2 years. And he said, you'll have to come back again in 2 years. I will decide what I want to do with it. But try as I may, he would not yield. So he told me, well, why don't you go to Bombay, meet your family, and then come back in a week. Now, I had actually even helped him to maintain his life. I had actually sent him some money over the 2 years to help him kind of live and pay for his expenses. But that didn't make any difference to him. So I went to Bombay and I met with somebody who was really like a father to me after my father had passed on. And he totally discouraged me. He said, don't go there. I've sent him so much money from your accounts and nothing has happened and he'll just take you for a ride. But something inside me said, no, don't go. Go back to Delhi. Go and meet him and try to persuade him. So I did that. And he met me and the two of us traveled to this village or a town, if you wish, called Rampur, where he said these books were. And the people who he had entrusted with were there, and they were quite angry with him and told him not to give anything of this to anybody because he would lose it. However, after much persuasion, they said, okay, they will go and get it and allow me to look at it. So the two of them went on a motorcycle, recovered these books that were in a gunny sack in a field, fairly well preserved, and came back. And then they showed me the books. And that was really quite a revelation, because when they opened this and kind of put it on the ground for me to see, what did I see there? I saw Kent's own sixth edition of the repertory with all his corrections of Kent's editions in his personal book, which I call The Treasure, the original second edition. I also saw several thousand cut-up bits of this repertory, some of which I could recognize where they belong. There were these two volumes of lectures on Materia Medica that Kent had given in 1895 that his students had written up. There was also a original first edition of Kent's repertory that belonged to Mittal. And there was an Indian edition of Kent's repertory with more notes of Dr. Mittal. And so he said, all right, since you have come from Madame Schmidt, Pierre Schmidt's wife, who he basically looked upon almost as a saintly woman, that he let me have them and to take them with me to America and get him to come there so that he could work upon this and that we could give this to the profession. Now, there was no Archibald at that time in my life. This was in 1980. And I didn't even know what Archibald was at that time. And I said, somehow or the other, the universe will help me to put this together. So I went there, went back to USA, working on my internship and later my residency, and kept in touch with this man, Dr. Mittal, all this time. Somehow, somewhere along the line between 1980 and 1987, he died. I didn't even know where and when he died, but I heard about it later on. And then I had all this work of his. So that was the situation. And what I did was I started to work on this, try to identify it, try to make clarity among it. And to some extent, I succeeded. I was able to identify 1,000 or so of those cut-up bits from Kent's own repertory. And then with that confidence, I said, well, somebody is going to come forth and help me out. So that's where I was. And in 1992, it so happened that George Vithulkas was in America giving some lectures. And I was fortunate enough to go to his lecture, and there was a dinner afterward, and I was debarred from going. The place where the dinner was held, those people said, Kareem, you cannot come there. You are not, you're not good enough. You're not his student. You cannot go there. But somebody from Archibald, a very nice lady, whose name was... Began with V. I'm sure you know it. Him?
It's not Francois Becquet.
Sorry?
Francois Becquet.
That's it. Yeah. That's the lady. She saw me and she said, Ahmed, you of all people really need to come there. I said, they have told me not to come. Several of the organizers said, I may not come. And I was ready to go back to Connecticut. So she grabbed my hand, put me in a taxi and took me to that home of a patient where George was there with some of his beloved students. And I was pretty much in the background. I had a quiet meal and then I just told George after that, you know, I very much appreciate all you have done for homeopathy. And then I casually mentioned to him that I hope you saw my paper in the Liga meeting of 1987 where I wrote about this Kent repertory and how I found it and how it had been with me and I was looking for a way that it should be given to the homeopathic public. And he was completely shocked. He said, you have it? I've been looking for it for years. How did you get it? So I told him in brief and he right away invited me to a conference that he was giving in Germany in I forget the name of the town. It was in southern Germany. You probably remember it.
It wasn't the Bern conference.
No, it was in a town not far from the lake.
Okay, somewhere near Munich or something?
No, I don't remember the name.
Anyway,
no,
okay.
L, it began with L.
Landsberg?
Sorry?
Landsberg?
No, with L. It began with L.
Anyway, that doesn't matter, Ahmed.
Anyway, he invited me. He said, I would like to see you. Why don't you come? Show me some evidence, what you got, and I invite you as my guest. You'll have to pay for your airfare. And I willingly went. And I took with me enough information and copies of this Kent repertory to show him, and he was totally delighted. And it is there that he put me in touch with Archibald, with Reinhard Rosé and Peter Vint, and we decided that we would do what we can to bring this to the homeopathic profession. Not a whole lot happened regarding that, but a good relationship was formed, and I was introduced to Archibald. And Archibald started a conversation with me about how to do this. Reinhardt and Peter Winch were involved, and we spoke about how to do all of this. But things were slow, and we had to work out certain agreements. It didn't quite happen, and I was slow, and I was very careful. Having had disappointments in my life, I didn't know what Archibald was. Anyway, this continued, and one day I finally decided that I'm not going to not give it. It has to be given to the profession, and even if I don't get paid for the work I'm going to do, it doesn't matter. It has to be done for the love of Kent. So we talked about it, and finally we came to an agreement. And in 2005, that's quite a long time later, you know, I found this material in 1980. And so this is almost 25 years later. Frederick Stroyens and myself, we all agreed that we would do this work. I would give them a photocopy of that, whatever I had, which was Mittal's 6th edition of the repertory. Whatever I had of the little pieces that came from Kent's original work and other pages that we could see, and that we would put this on synthesis. So Frederick assigned to me a very nice person from Archibald by the name of Paul De Bruyne, and Paul De Bruyne and I worked for many, many long hours, and he would send me things to do and to correct, and I would do them and send them back to him. And then apparently, before my eyes, all of a sudden, Frederick told me, and this was this year in January when we met in India in the Missouri conference, that this work is actually complete. It's in the reservoirs of synthesis, and we can put it out. And finally, it's out in the form of synthesis 10. And it's a complete thrill to me that Kent's work has finally come back to the profession. And I, in some very positive way, was responsible for it to happen. So that's the story of this Kent repertory.
It's you know, it's an amazing story, and I'd like to suggest for the people who are on the call,
they
go to the Whole Health Now website and actually read the original article, because it's not only a slice of the history of homeopathy, but it reads like a James Bond novel. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing story. Ahmed, how many additions and corrections were actually incorporated into synthesis?
I don't know an exact number, but I presume it's somewhere around 40, 50,000, something of that order.
40 or 50,000.
Maybe more. Maybe more. I cannot tell, because I worked on it, you know, literally hundreds, if not thousands of hours.
Yeah.
And there is no... This is a work of love. This is not a work of being paid.
Sure, sure.
Basically did it for the love of Kent and for all that he had done for humanity.
What?
And I'm very happy. There was some big amount of money that was to be paid to me, but it never happened. And in the final analysis, I didn't even ask for it. I basically said, we'll do it together in the spirit of doing this in the name of Kent, for Kent's own name. If Kent did so much for homeopathy, for the healing of nations, why shouldn't I, as a small guy, give this homage to him? So that's how it was done. It was in that spirit. And I had a good worker in Paul De Bruyne and in Archibald. And then Frederick was very, very happy this January when I talked about it at the conference in Missouri. And he said, Ahmed, this only happened because you were so innocent. And because you were such an innocent person who kept on doing this, it happened because of that. He used another word too, persistent. He called me persistent. Well, I think I was persistent because I didn't let go of it. Mm. And how I ever found this in a small cloth shop in Amritsar among 300 cloth shops, and this man coming back when he had left and talking to me and having that letter from Madame Schmidt, which won him over, it's almost like the work of the universe. I mean, I like to say it is the graciousness of my spiritual teacher that made it happen, because I certainly could not plan anything like that, humanly.
Yeah, it was meant to be, and it is a tremendous contribution that you've made. I mean, to think about, you know, Kent as one of the great homeopaths of all time, and for all of this incredible work of his to not have been available to contemporary homeopaths, I mean, you have made an immense contribution. So I'll thank you personally for everyone who's on the call and for those people who will be listening to it on the website at a later time. Ahmed, I'm curious, you know, Dr. Pierre Schmidt is really one of the stalwarts of homeopathy in the latter part of the 20th century, and you actually got to meet him personally.
Yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about that?
He was also my physician in 1953.
Yeah.
And he helped me to get over childhood asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was particularly receptive in 1972. He complained that why I had not gotten in touch with him since 53, when he had made me well for asthma. I said, well, I can't explain all that, but, you know, I wasn't in Switzerland, and my father was not available anymore. My father had gone, had passed away, and so on. So, but he was very happy, and that I had so much interest in the repertory, and it was thanks to him, because he's the one who directed me and said, go and see if you can find it. The whole profession will be very grateful that I went. I mean, I had some blessing from him, of course, and I had encouragement from him. I really owe everything to his wife, who wrote that one short letter to Mittal. Mittal had a particular fondness for her, and he thought she was a saintly woman, and she really was. She had done so much for hundreds and hundreds of people, giving free remedies and helping sick people, and her letter really opened up everything. When Mittal saw that, he kind of melted and said, okay, I'm going to work with Kareem, and he did. Unfortunately, he died somewhere in between, so he could not see this work completed. There was another thing he gave me, was he gave me his paper that he presented at the Liga conference in 1962 in Dusseldorf, and which paper I have converted into this book called Guide to Kent's Repertory. It's actually a guide to any repertory, but he put down all the foundations and how Kent had formulated the repertory, and I use it every day in my work.
The next one, book.
Yeah. So maybe people would like to get a copy of that, and maybe they would like to get a copy of those Materia Medica that I also recovered from this man Mittal. They were
can you tell us a little bit about that Materia Medica, Ahmed, the lost lectures?
What's that?
Can you talk a little bit about that, the lectures?
Yeah, sure. As I told you, Mittal had taken away this treasure of Kent from Pierre Schmidt's library. But there was also two volumes of Materia Medica that Kent had given lectures on in 1895 that his students had written up, very nicely written up, all typed and bound. And so he gave them to me also. And then that's all in 1980. So between 1980 and I would say 1996, I found another set of three books of Materia Medica that Kent gave in 1893 and 1894. So I had three volumes at that of those that I found in an obscure place in somebody's library who had no use for it. And then somewhere in 1986 in Michigan, I found lectures on Materia Medica that Kent gave in the Dunham Medical College starting in 1901. And those are all the lectures between Aesculus and Magnesium Carbonica. The other lectures that would be from Magnesium Ureatica to Zincum I never found. But this set of lectures was passed on to me by a lady from Chicago. And how they ended up in my possession is a mystery to me. They went from this lady to a homeopathic doctor in Michigan who died, who passed his library on to somebody else. That somebody else was a lay person practicing in Michigan, and he casually asked me, would I like this? And they were this set of lectures. So what I did was, over the years, I put all these 1893, 94, 1895 and 1901, I put all these on my computer, and my dear wife Shamai was very helpful in typing all these for hundreds of hours, and they are now published. The publisher has just gotten a revised version of it because there were many mistakes, and this two-volume, 1,755 pages work is now available. It can be obtained from my website. And we have also made up an index for it by using a CD so that people can type in whatever they want and it'll take them to the exact page. So we are very happy with this. I'm just delighted and very thankful to Shamai for all the effort she did and worked with me. And this is available now. So this is lectures that Kent gave that his students wrote up. And there are quite a few remedies that are not to be found in his lectures of homeopathic Materia Medica. And in addition, they show a certain evolution of Kent as he changed from, I guess, 1893 till 1911 when he wrote his final lectures of Materia Medica. This is also different from his lesser writings, which was written by his students. There's a volume called Lesser Writings, Clinical Cases, Aphorisms, And there is another volume of his that Gibson wrote called Minor Writing. So this is a good addition and kind of completes all that Kent ever did. And it's available now. And if you go to my website, www.homeopathydoctor.com, it's displayed there. And we can make it available to whosoever wants it. It's a big book. It's two volumes. 1,757 or 1,760 pages, but it makes for very fascinating reading, and it shows relationships in remedies that you never expected before, because, you know, Kent gives several lectures on a remedy. For example, there are four or five lectures on aconite. There are as many lectures on arsenicum. There is a lecture on tobaccum that was never there. There is a lecture on anthracycline which was never there. So it has other things in it that the original Materia Medica does not have. It's quite exciting to read it. I thoroughly am enjoying it. And in correcting it, I learned a great deal myself.
Well, that's a real treasure for sure, because, you know, I, from my perspective of the old-time homeopaths, Kent's pictures of the remedies tend to be very, very much what we see in practice even today. So I'm actually eager to see it myself, Ahmed, and I'm really thankful that you brought it to the homeopathic community.
Well, I hope that the homeopathic community will appreciate Kent more, and they will realize how much devoted he was both to his students and to the science of homeopathy. I'm looking forward, if ever, I'm looking forward to talking about this. I'm looking forward to lecturing on this. I'm looking forward to traveling more, maybe even go to Greece if George is... I think George will probably be quite excited about this.
I think so.
Including getting the whole repertory done, because he was the one who kept on pushing me and told me, why don't you do this? You do this, you know. So George would have at least one of his wishes fulfilled. And I'm sure he'll get this Synthesis 10 sometime.
Sure. Actually, I think, Ahmed, it's called the Synthesis Treasure Edition is the official name of it.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Ahmed, I want to give some other people an opportunity to ask some questions, but I'm just curious personally. You know, this Dr. Mittal.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically stole this book from Pierre Schmidt.
Yes, that's
And then
correct.
Pierre Schmidt basically, you know, had the police after him, Interpol, and, you know, the kind of this big kind of drama.
Yes, it was a big
when,
drama.
When he saw you, when you approached him, how did he respond to you? How did he talk to you?
I knew you would ask that question. He spoke to me very nicely. I have to tell you that the reason that he actually kind of melted, you know, he almost had, he became very, very sweet and very kind, was because I had that letter from Madame Schmidt.
Mm.
That letter from Madame Schmidt, I think, you know, it brought tears into his eyes. Because he knew that she was a very, almost a saintly woman. And somehow or the other, I think he saw a lot of her suffering in the fact that she had had paralysis and whatever else. She had had disappointments in her life. And he saw that. And I think he saw, perhaps, that there would be some healing that would take place if he had some kind of relationship with me, and if this book and if this repertory would be restored to the profession. Because I think he was a sensitive man. I think Mittal was a good human being. And the reasons why he did what he did, you know, maybe we can talk about it at another time, but he basically wanted good for the profession.
I'm curious. I know he ripped. He actually ripped this incredibly valuable work of Kent.
Yes.
Into all these little pieces. Why didn't he just hide the thing or something? Why did he feel that he needed to rip it up?
Well, he was afraid that he would be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was afraid of.
Mm.
He was afraid he would be arrested and that he would be, I don't know, maybe that he would be hurt or that he would be discredited or that there would be a bad name put on him. And in some sense, you know, he was a, he had a certain sense of nobility. He was sad. He had a son. His wife had left him, separated from him. And so he was a man who was quite hurt, and he was, I think, taking care of himself. He didn't want to get hurt anymore. And I think this is the path he took. For whatever reason, it may not seem clear and make sense to quote our logical minds, but in his mind and in his way of seeing it, this was his defense. So I actually found him an extremely pleasant man to be with. And he was very open to me. He was kind to me. He brought me to this little village-like town of Rampur, a small place in India, and allowed me to wait there and actually went with this other person who was holding these books on a motorcycle out some 14, 15 miles and come back with it. I don't know, for me it was a very moving thing, and I was very thankful and very appreciative to him. I just have a lot of I feel sad for him that he went through all of this in life, that he could not get recognition for the work he did. And if you look at his sixth edition, which I have here, in fact right here in front of me, with what detail he worked every single thing out, it's quite totally incredible. It's hard to imagine how he could have done this in whatever it was, 1 or 2 months that he was in Pierre Schmidt's office and staying in some little bed and breakfast in Geneva and then traveling to Dusseldorf, presenting his paper and not being very nicely received, because the Germans were not very good to the people from India. They didn't accord their papers enough importance, often put them in a small tiny room, and he kind of put up with all of that. But the paper he presented was first class, and it's in my book, Guide to Kent's Repertory.
Right.
The whole book has been built around that.
Mm.
So when you see that, you see that he was very devoted. And the book, Guide to Kent's Repertory, really reflects really thousands of hours of work putting all of that together.
Mm.
It actually is a help. Even George Vitulkas was very impressed and found it useful. And it would help people to learn the repertory a great deal better than they normally do know it. So that was Mittal's work. I just put it together as a faithful student. But the final repertory that has now come in the form of Synthesis Golden Edition.
Treasure Edition.
That's thanks to, that's finally thanks to Mittal.
Yeah.
You know? Because, look, even Pierre Schmidt could not do that work. He didn't complete it.
Right.
Neither did Kent's student Alonzo Austin.
Mm.
There is one more copy of this book somewhere in America that Kent had given to a doctor called Pugh. P-U-G-H. He was a Texan.
Mm.
If you can find it, that would be good. And then there should be another edition with Erhard and Karl, but I've never been able to find it.
Mm.
But that would be good. It would be a way of verifying the present Mittal edition, you know.
Ahmed, when you saw the thing ripped up into 1,000 pieces, what was the first thing that went to your mind?
Well, I was very sad about it, because
yeah.
I said this is Kent's own work that Kent
yeah.
had done with such devotion and love and accuracy, and this man ripped it up like that. And I told him, why did you do that? I mean, don't you feel that that was a terrible thing to do? And he shrugged his shoulders. He said, well, I didn't want to be caught and sent to jail for the rest of my life. And then the second thing he said was that it's okay, I have it all. I've written it all up in my repertory. It's not lost. It's all there. And since I had verified about 1,000 pieces, I traced them down to where exactly they were in the repertory on both sides. And then I verified it using the indexing method of finding symptoms in synthesis, right?
Yep.
Yeah, where you put the question mark in?
Sure, sure.
So I found every single one of them. I didn't do them all. There must have been about 8,000-9,000 of those little bits, maybe more. But I did them for about 1,200 of them. And they all matched up with his book. So there was no doubt.
But you knew for sure.
There's no doubt that everything that he did, he got. He got everything. He didn't miss anything.
That's fantastic.
So that's, now that's in synthesis.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
That's
well, you know, and all the patients who are going to be able to be helped through this work, through Mitchell's work, and also through you, through your persistence and naivety and dedication in bringing it to the community is, like I said, it is a legacy of yours for future generations.
Yeah, it's a grace of my spiritual teacher, Kirpal Singh, and the present teacher, Rajinder Singh. I couldn't help but feel their greatness and goodness helped me all through this.
That's great.
At that time, there was no Rajinder Singh, and Kirpal Singh had passed away. So I was sort of in that sense alone, but I always had a prayer in my heart that I be helped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had the love of my parents behind me because they brought me up in such a wonderful way.
Mm.
And then my dear wife, Shamai, she did a lot of this work, so to her also goes all this credit, especially for these materia medica lectures.
Mm.
I don't know how those other ones came into my hands. That's a mystery to me.
Mm. I mean,
I
have
one
many
set,
more.
And then in America, it's as if the universe sent me two more sets.
Right.
It's ready. If, you know, whoever wants it can order it now.
Right. And again, I want to suggest that people go to the Whole Health Net website. If you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little icon that says What's New. If you click on that, it'll take you to all of the newest articles on the Whole Health Net website. If you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see the article on the Treasure Synthesis Edition, and it really fills in all the gaps in the story that Ahmed described to us tonight. Also, you can contact Ahmed directly by going to his website. What's that website again?
It's www.homeopathydoctor.com.
Okay, and at that website you can find out more information about the Materia Medica book that he's printed, his guide to Kent's repertory, and also his other work on Grimmer, the collected work of Grimmer.
Collected works is in EH.
Is in EH as well, that's correct.
Right.
So, Ahmed, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and wonderful story, very, very inspiring, and you tell it really beautifully. So, thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Okay, have a good night.
Okay, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.